Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Some people are becoming and have become so mentally unhinged because of our current president, Donald Trump. And I'm going to point out to you one example of that.
I need to load up the video of the woman with the glasses from his inauguration day?
Oh, that's a great video.
Do I need to have that ready?
That's a great video. But there are lots...
I'll just do it. I know it's early.
There are
ladies and gentlemen, the 46th president? 45th? 40?
I think he's 46. Is that what he is?
Donald J. Trump.
Well,
I'm going to have to go home now.
Because of social media, we get to hear people do that on a daily basis. Maybe not exactly like that, but I'm going to explain to you whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, social media, and a woman who lost her marbles completely more than anyone else I can think of, just as much as that woman on her knees with the glasses on Election Day.
Seriously, I think I hurt myself.
Alyssa Milano, the actress, has become completely unhinged because of Donald Trump. Now, it was either 24 or 48 hours ago. I'm looking on her Twitter page now. I think she's deleted this post.
You follow her on Twitter?
I used to. But I had to unfollow her because she's so good looking.
Well, you followed her because she's good looking. You unfollowed her.
Because I couldn't take...
Because she's unhinged.
She's completely mentally unhinged.
And I would remind you that I don't think her door was hanging all that straight to begin with. But go ahead.
She tweeted something the other day, either yesterday or 2 days ago, which I think she has since deleted. Because every other word was F, mother effer. Now, remember, right. She's a mother of children. She's got a young...
Is she really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's got at least one young child, if not more. But she was just ripping Donald Trump because of the tear gas at the Mexican border. How this mother bleeper, this effer, this, that, women and children. Meanwhile,
Alyssa Milano.
Again, she's got young children, and this is how she's speaking. Meanwhile, she doesn't realize that Barack Obama, when he was president, do you know how many times tear gas was used? Many, 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 many more times than since Donald Trump's been president.
About once a week.
But of course, the news never paid attention to that because the news, Barack Obama could do no wrong. But Alyssa Milano never said anything, never opened her mouth once. When immigrants, migrants, invaders, whatever you want to call them, were being tear gassed at the United States-Mexican border in the 8 years that Barack Obama... I mean, it happened hundreds of times. It happened a lot. But she never once opened her mouth about that. Isn't that something? Yet it happens once when Donald Trump is president and he is Satan. He is the orange mother bleeper, bleep and bleep. Again, I think she has deleted her tweet. Because, I mean, could you imagine your kid seeing that? But then if you look at some more of her tweets, I think she has a little bit of... an expanded importance of herself.
You think? A Hollywood actress?
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
Because I'm on her Twitter page now. And if it has anything to do with Donald Trump or anybody in the Trump administration, it's all Satan. We're all going to hell. We're all going to... I mean, she's mentally unhinged. Mm. There's no doubt about it. Especially when she goes crazy when Trump does stuff that... the exact same things that Barack Obama did, and she never opened her mouth once.
Right.
President Trump.
But I'm looking at another one of her posts right now, and it has to do with the Secretary of Education, a woman named Betsy DeVos, who Alyssa Milano hates because Donald Trump put her there.
Right.
And she's saying that Betsy DeVos wants to do something, and she wants to do this, and then she said... I am not going to let that happen. So stand with me and let's stand up to this woman. I mean, who does she think she is? I mean, she hadn't been getting that much work as an actress over the last few years. She is now known for one thing, pretty much, and that's being anti-Donald Trump. But now anything that happens in the Trump administration, she is now tweeting about saying, I am not going to let this happen. From her mansion in Beverly Hills, California.
Alyssa Milano.
You know, if she wants these migrants in this country, they should show her a direct path from the California-Mexico border to Alyssa Milano's front door in Beverly Hills.
Yes.
She's got plenty of room. I've seen the size of her house. It's big. She could have 20 of those migrants living in her house.
You've been in her house?
No, I've just seen pictures. And, you know, the last time I was in L.A. when we were, my friends and I, late at night.
You were in the window, not so much in the house or in the window.
But, yeah. But here's a perfect example, Alyssa Milano, of someone thinking much too much of themselves. And now how anything that this president and this administration is going to do, she will not let that happen.
She might be one of those narcissists.
I mean, and again, I've always loved her because she's so pretty. I think she's one of the most attractive women I've ever seen in my life. But when you look
In fact, I can remember when you and I first started working together that you used her as the description of your quote-unquote type.
Absolutely.
We all have a type. And you went immediately, Alyssa Milano.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So not only her, and this is going back 10 years ago, but using her as the prototype for your quote-unquote type.
Alyssa Milano!
That already.
And it's not as even if she was a world-class actress. She was in two successful television shows.
Yeah,
a sitcom when she was a child.
She was right up there to the edge of that cliff, and then, yeah.
Yeah, and then when she was an adult, she was in a show about witches with Shannon Doherty.
Right.
But now she is, in her mind, she is leading the crusade against Donald Trump. And she watches CNN, and when she sees something she doesn't like, she goes to Twitter. She doesn't know anything. I mean, anything. If she knew anything, she would have known Barack Obama tear gassed more people, migrants, at the Mexican border than Donald Trump did.
Go to hell.
Of course she didn't know that. I mean, it's a shame that I love the way she looks, but boy, she's just not a very smart woman. And it's so transparent now. It's showing. And now she's got this inflated whatever about herself, thinking, I'm not letting this stuff happen. And if you follow me to make sure that we don't let this stuff happen.
Sounds like she broke your heart.
I think it's time for her to find another sitcom or another third-rate television show on a third-rate network to be on. Not just maybe it'll take her mind off of the stupidity that she tweets.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, her husband owes a lot of money in taxes. And I think he could use some help financially.
Right. I think it's time for you to move on. And I have one name for you. Rose McGowan.
Oh, boy. Another very attractive woman who completely
went nuts.
Completely, completely bat crap out of her mind crazy.
Mm.
On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford. You don't see this headline every day. And that's one of the things on this show that we'd like to do is, I mean, sure, sometimes we bring you stories that you, headlines you see often. And then there's this. And it did happen in the state of Florida, which, you know, and if you notice on social media, when you see some crazy stories featuring crazy people, many, many, many times it, come out of Florida, and people wonder why. Well, it is a big state, but you know, with the weather being nice, that's where a lot of crazy people end up migrating to here in the United States of America.
Well, you figure Florida's got a very wide cross-section of all different types. You've got expats from New York City who live their entire lives to retire to Florida. We're going to Florida, Del Boca Vista. And you've got your young beach people. You've got people from the Panhandle. You just have a little bit of everything in Florida.
And then
I'm reading out of the brochure.
This, too. Woman passes gas in store, then pulls knife on an offended customer. And, you know, I've seen YouTube videos, whether it's real gas that's being passed or whether it's the fake. Have you ever seen that on YouTube when the young guy goes up to, and he's in its store?
Like one of those prank videos.
Yeah, and he'll walk up and he walks right next to different people and it sounds like he's farting. But it's just like the fart noise sound maker.
Like a whoopee cushion almost.
Yeah. Oh, and then some people, you got to be careful who you do that next to.
See, my favorite.
That's what I've learned in the YouTube video.
My favorite one is the guy who has the little spritz bottle. And then you come up behind somebody in the mall or whatever, and you're like, like that. And then he'll spritz just a tiny little bit of water on the back of their neck.
That's
assault.
It is assault. And when you start bringing props in like that, that put a liquid on the back of someone's neck, and then you hear a sneeze, I wouldn't blame the person to start throwing haymakers first, and then you ask questions second.
It's assault. It might be battery, but it's hilarious. Those videos are great.
Passing gas in public is often embarrassing, but for a Dana Beach, Florida woman, doing so while waiting in line at a Dollar General store led to her arrest on a charge of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without intent to kill. How about that? It's what police say she did after a man in line complained about the act that led to the charge. This happened in Broward County. They had some issues with on election night with their shady people working at the voting polls.
Right.
And now this, Broward County, Florida.
It's always something.
37-year-old Shanetta Yvette Wilson was in the checkout line at the Dollar General store, Dana Beach, Florida, Broward County. This happened last Sunday night. The customer standing next to her got into a verbal dispute in reference to the defendant farting loudly, unquote. So it's a man and a woman standing in line at the Dollar General store. The woman is the one who farts.
Right.
So the man confronted her about it. I don't know exactly what was said, but he said something. I'm paraphrasing. He said something along the lines as, "Hey, lady, you know what? Why are you farting so loud? I'm standing right next to you. What's with the loud fart, woman?" Something along those lines.
So it wasn't like something that was more offensive to him, like the smell, or the smell might be right on him.
The only thing it says in the police report.
Have you ever been at a Dollar General? It's pretty loud in there anyway.
The only thing he said in the police report, the only thing it says in the police report, because I've got it here in front of me, the man got into the woman, quote, in reference to the defendant farting loudly, unquote. So he said something about the fart. What's with the loud fart? Do you always fart so loud when you fart?
But I don't think it's the volume. I don't think is the issue.
No, the stinks.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing.
It stinks over here, and it's because of you, lady, you woman, with the farting.
Right.
So after whatever the man said to the woman,
what is up with the farting?
Whatever exact words, verbiage was used.
Right.
She didn't like it. And that's when Shanetta Yvette Wilson pulled a small, quote, lockback knife, unquote, from her purse.
Yes. You can buy those at Dollar General, by the way.
Opened the knife and told the victim she was going to, quote, gut him, unquote. Now, if I'm the man, I'm thinking, wait a minute.
That's some knife.
Wait a minute. Whatever was in your guts is already on display with that fart you just made. So now you're gonna gut me because I'm calling you out on you farting here, the Dollar General. And while doing so, she pulled back her right hand with the knife as if she was going to attack the victim. So she's got the knife in her hand. The arm goes back. And now it looks like there's going to be a stabbing in the dollar store, all because she farted and got called out on it. Didn't like getting called out on the fart.
You know, all I came in here for was some Takis and a 5-hour energy. And now this.
The man who called her out, according to the police report, quote, was in fear that he was going to be stabbed by the defendant. Could you imagine for one second that happening and just flashing through your mind, I could die here at the checkout line
in the Dollar General store
because this woman next to me farted and I said, hey, what's with the fart? Police were called. And the woman had left the store, but she wasn't that far. And once police showed up, the man who called out the woman pointed her out and said, that's her over there, and I can visually recognize her.
Right.
And I could, if we get closer, I could smell.
Yes.
That's more evidence. She was arrested, and she was held on her bail was set at $2,500. A lot of beans. So you don't see that every day. I think I'm going to get that on the Bayou Facebook page.
Yes.
Because I don't know. I've got her mugshot here, Brewster, and you know I'm looking at the mugshot. She's got that look on her face. Yeah, what do you want from me? I farted at Dollar General, and the guy called me out on it, so I pulled the knife on him.
Right.
That's the look on her face in her mugshot.
Yeah. Then she kind of also looks like jealous. Yeah. The version of the story I'm looking at comes from the MiamiHerald.com, thatrag.com. And I don't see, it's more of a video thing. I don't see her mugshot. Oh, there it is. Well, she's kind of gazing off into the distance. But have you noticed the security guard that's involved in this?
Yeah, I did see him.
That could literally be Paul Blart. Mall cop. I mean, that could be, what's his name? Brian, Kevin James?
That
could be him.
The guy with the mustache.
Yes.
The security guard. I didn't know Dollar General stores had security guards.
Well, maybe they've had this kind of trouble in the past. I don't know.
Do they have did they have Black Friday at the Dollar General stores? And the Dollar General isn't the only one. There's the Dollar Tree. There's the Dollar.
Dollar Tree, Dollar General, Family Dollar. What was the question?
Do they have Black Friday? Do they have Black Friday the day after Thanksgiving at the Dollar General store? And if they do, what is it, 75 cents?
I think everything you can pick up off the floor is 50 cents. Have you been in a Dollar General?
Yeah, and you're right about that. I'm reading it off the Miami Herald website as well. They're known for their breaking news.
Yeah, look, I just came in here for a Red Bull and some corn chips.
Is that something you would do? And again, I don't like to, when we do stories, I don't like to say, well, this is what I would have done, because you never know in life unless it happens to you. But if there's a woman standing next to you in line at a checkout at a store, whether it's the Dollar General store or whether it's the $5 store or whatever the case may be.
That would be Five Below.
If a woman passes gas, if she lets one fly, if she rips one and you can hear it, do you say something to her? Do you say, hey, lady, what's with the loud fart?
I don't. I know.
Because you're thinking this crazy woman, if she's crazy enough to do that, she's crazy enough to pull a knife out of her pocketbook on me.
Have you ever been in a Dollar General?
Well, man, I'm looking at this mugshot. I don't know if I'd say anything either.
Just let it go.
Kind of a scary looking woman. All right.
You're going to follow this story.
Well, I don't know if there's anything else to follow unless she goes nuts in jail. Unless, hey, remember the woman who ended up in jail because she farted at Dollar General and some guy called her out on it and then she pulled a knife on him? We got enough. She just went nuts in jail.
How do you present that as Exhibit A in her trial?
I know. What do you use for evidence?
It's like a vapor trail. It's like nailing Jell-O to the wall.
All right, coming up on the show, a sorority at LSU got in trouble.
Uh-oh.
And you're not going to believe why. And I can't believe for what they're saying that they did, that this is the punishment that they got. I can't believe it. It's these crazy sorority girls. Sorority girls gone wild at LSU, kind of. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, I love Bud's Broiler. I'm a big burger fan. And there's a half a dozen Bud's Broilers around New Orleans. One of them, the one on City Park Avenue, the one that's been open since 1958, the one that Bud used to live upstairs of. There's an apartment upstairs over there.
Hey, Bud.
Yeah, let's burger. But that one right now, they covered up the name Bud's Broiler, but they're still inside selling hamburgers. I guess the current owner, it's a franchise kind of situation, and they're being accused of using other sources to get their stuff besides the Bud's Broiler source.
Ah.
And so that's why they have covered up the name of Bud's Broiler, although you still go in there and you get the hamburgers and the tape, but I don't know how this is going to end or where this is going to end, but it's one of these messy situations. I love that place. And what's cool about that one, that's open 24 hours. You could go in there.
I've been in there for 24 hours before.
Yeah, you could go in there. You can go in there pretty much any time, and we'll see how this ends. But the current owner is Shannon Prince, and she's being sued by the Bud's Broiler Holdings. That's what it's called.
Right.
And evidently when you have one of those franchises, you have to buy your meat and you have to buy your supplies from them.
Well, there's a continuity that they're trying to achieve.
Yeah, and because you should be able to go into any Bud's Broiler and it should taste exactly the same no matter what you are. That's the consistency.
Should all be identical. That's right.
So this story I will follow because I do care about that Bud's Broiler over there on City Park Avenue. Coming up on the show, wait till you hear what this sorority at LSU got in trouble for. I couldn't believe this. I said, really? Really? This? That's coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. An LSU sorority has gotten into trouble. And whenever I see or hear stories about that, I want to find out what the sorority women did to get themselves in trouble.
What, in case you're called in for counseling or something?
Well, no, the Pi Beta Phi sorority at LSU, they had their activities suspended. You want to know why? Because of a milk chugging challenge. This is what got a sorority in trouble. You know, and we've seen at LSU, not with a sorority recently, but with a fraternity, with the guys. There's been one student died, hazing, and there's been fraternities that have been shut down, closed down, boarded up. But this, a sorority having their activities suspended because some of the sorority sisters did a milk chugging challenge. And I'm sure you're familiar with a milk chugging challenge. I think many of us did the milk chugging challenge when we were younger. The milk chugging challenge is pretty easy. Well, no, it's not easy to do, but it's pretty easy to explain. You take a half gallon of milk.
It's easy to do if you like vomiting.
Well, you take a half gallon of milk, and the story goes, you have to drink it in 10 or 15 minutes.
Well, maybe more than a half gallon. I'll tell you why.
I remember it was always the half gallon. You had to drink it in either 10 or 15 minutes. That wasn't the problem. The problem was you had to hold it down for 30 minutes.
Right.
And it's almost impossible to do because milk, once it gets in your stomach, it expands.
I don't believe that to be the case.
Oh, that's what happened with me.
Why would it expand? Why would a liquid expand?
Why would I be able to very easily drink a half gallon of milk? No problem. I did it in less than 10 minutes. I'm sitting there. Life was good. It looked like I was going to win a bet. I think the bet was for, I don't know, $20 or something like that. And then the next thing I know, I'm like, uh-oh, something's coming up. Why would the milk come up? Because it expands in your stomach.
No, it does not expand in your stomach. It causes some sort of dyspeptic activity that your system just can't handle. But no, it's not like it's not. Milk doesn't expand. Okay, try to simulate the human stomach. Take a sheep's bladder. We're gonna make haggis. All right, take a warm sheep's bladder and pour milk into it. Is it going to expand? You could even throw in a little acid in there, simulate stomach acid. It's not going to expand.
So you're telling me milk, once it gets into your stomach,
Why would it expand? Why would a liquid expand?
It gets bigger. It does something because no one can hold it down.
It does something. It's more of a chemical reaction to where it's either the milk sugars or the milk fat that is just overwhelming your body. Let me tell you a quick story, and you're familiar with this, but if you're listening and you wonder why radio stations don't do things like that anymore, there used to be milk chugging challenges. There used to be famously chugging water, and in a California station, there was a promotion for a Wii system, and hold your pee for a wee?
Is that what it was?
Something like that. And a woman drank a gallon of water or however much water it was, and she died.
Yeah. One of those wacky radio station, wacky contests.
Well, it was wacky, and a lady died, and it was pretty tragic. What happens in that case, when you consume too much water, it flushes all the electrolytes out of your system in a way that your heart can't handle, and I believe she just died of a heart attack.
Yeah, radio stations have done that over the years. They're usually called the European car contest, because you could win a brand new European car, but you get European it European, and you drink car. As much water as you possibly can, and you got to sit in the car, and then whoever holds out the longest without peeing or exploding wins the car. And in the case you just referenced, Brewster, the woman died, and she had young children, and all trying to. In the European car contest.
If you feel bloated after you drink milk, and people are already calling to argue with one of us or the other, I don't know. Lactose is the main sugar in milk, and in order for it to be properly processed in your body, you need to own an enzyme called lactase. This makes it extremely difficult for the digestive system to break down cow's milk the same way, which is what causes that bloated feeling. So it's not an expansion of a liquid would not expand in your stomach. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I can't believe a sorority may get shut down because of a milk chugging challenge. You're thinking to yourself, you know, if sororities or fraternities get shut down, it should be for something. I mean, I remember when hazing was simple, Brewster. I remember you just got a broom handle, you know, you got some freshman. You know, I mean, look. We've come a long way since then. This incident happened October 4th.
Is there something you'd like to tell us about?
No, but it was during the middle of the day this incident happened at LSU. The sorority's national organization claimed an LSU sorority member gave a brand new member a pledge or a new member, quote, a gallon of milk. See, this was a gallon.
Yeah.
And gave her instructions to finish the milk within a certain amount of time and then hold it down for the next half hour. Again, the first half is easy. I think you, me, if you're listening, most of us can drink a gallon, a half gallon of milk in 15 minutes, 20 minutes. That's not a big deal.
Yes, it is. I'm lactose intolerant. Mm. You don't want me drinking milk around you at all.
But it's holding it down.
It's not pretty.
It's holding it down without throwing it up.
Okay.
Which is the difficult part. And please, this is going to shut down a sorority? Could this be the end of the Pi Beta Phi days? At LSU, you're telling me a milk-chugging challenge led to the suspension of activities for that sorority? I feel sorry. I feel bad for the sorority sisters. You can't even have a fun milk-chugging challenge anymore? You're taking all the fun out of it.
It's all fun. It's all well and good until someone gets hurt.
Hmm. But this isn't the first time that particular sorority has been in trouble. It's got crazy Greek life. And it's always fun until somebody throws up on somebody after the milk-chugging challenge. All right, coming up on the show. I've asked this question several times, and it looks like I'm going to have an answer. Since everybody has any book that they could ever imagine in the palm of their hand with their cell phones, libraries are empty throughout America. Oh, yeah. What's going to happen with libraries? Their biggest use now, homeless people use them for porn. American libraries' biggest use in the year 2018 is for homeless people
on a public using porn computer.
But we're going to tell you what the future of libraries is, because I was reading about this and I was wondering what's going to happen to all of our libraries. We're going to tell you coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. When I was younger, I enjoyed hanging around the library for a couple of reasons. Yeah, I mean, there were tons of books and but there were girls there. And I enjoyed going to my town's library and hanging around there. And libraries, though, look like they are a part of yesterday's America. I live in the city of New Orleans. Every once in a while, I'll go in the library. It's a pretty cool library we have downtown here. It's pretty big. But nobody really goes into libraries in this country anymore, because everyone who owns a cell phone has a library in the palm of their hand. Anything that they want to know, you don't have to go to the library like you did generations ago. You could just type a few things into your cell phone, and you could.
I get where you're going, but you're using yourself as the model for this, and then extrapolating yourself out onto how you feel about it for everybody else. It is not just a matter of research. There are some people for whom, I don't know, think of something that you can hold in the palm of your hand that just gives you like a chill up your spine, and keep it clean, please. There are some people for whom books have that allure, that aura, that magic. I don't have it. I'm a terrible reader. Mm. I will read one page and then start the other page and then go back and say, oh, no, what did this? I'm not dyslexic at all, but I have attention deficit and short-term memory.
Well,
that keeps me from being a successful reader. But I dispute all of this.
Well, the future of libraries are bleak in this country, no. Brewster. I mean, libraries now, especially in cities, big cities in America, one of the biggest use for libraries are homeless people hanging around there. Looking up pornography.
They don't use the computers to look up porn because they have that shut off so that you can't do that.
But some they do, but in others that's.
Can I have a list of those libraries?
I can find it for you. Where it's a hub, big city, some big city libraries are a hub for homeless people hanging out there looking up pornography.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
They need to stay in business somewhere. They need to get people in there somehow.
According to Rutgers Online, and we don't have a whole lot of time for this right now. In fact, we have no time for it. But let's couch this, and we'll get into this a little
Google
bit more.
Google wants to transform U.S. libraries, and we'll tell you more about it coming up. Coming up next, it's Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford. It's time to look at today in history, and on this radio show we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
November 29th. It was today in 2011.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Dr. Conrad Murray receives a 4-year prison sentence. Why?
Michael Jackson's doctor.
That's right. I was Michael Jackson's personal doctor, and he was giving him... drugs that only they gave to cancer patients and they gave to people that were really, really hurting. And propofol, I believe it was called, and other things. And basically he had a CVS and a Walgreens on steroids in his bedroom there in Los Angeles.
Pretty much.
You know, you look at, when you look at like some of the biggest music stars who went out, who died recently,
right.
They were pretty much all junkies.
Right.
Michael Jackson.
Prince.
Prince. Whitney Houston. We can go back a little way now. Elvis Presley. The biggest names, some of the biggest names in music, they all died young, and they were all junkies.
Yes.
That's something. I wonder what he's doing now these days, Dr. Conrad Murray.
I thought you meant Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson's burning in hell.
No. November 29th.
Well, Conrad Murray should be in jail, isn't he?
Well, you know, he got a 4-year sentence.
4 years.
And that was in 2011.
Huh.
So he's out now, but I wonder if he's still able to be a doctor or if that was taken away from him.
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, you had Michael Jackson, a pretty famous guy, is your most famous patient. Look what happened to him. Who's going to say, hey, honey, I need a doctor. Let me call Dr. Conrad Murray.
Right.
How many people are going to be actually doing that? November 29th. It was today. Oh, boy, 1981.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Today's the day that the beautiful actress Natalie Wood drowned. We've talked about it. It's popped up again.
Right.
They've questioned... her husband at the time, who's still alive, Robert Wagner, he, to this day, doesn't talk much about it, but when he does, he just denies everything. And, you know, a lot of people thought she was doing sex with Christopher Walken because she just made a movie with him. She was filming a movie with him.
Right.
That's why the three of them were on that boat. There was only 4 people on that boat.
Correct.
The skipper was the other person on that boat. And
the skipper from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, nobody ever... Nobody ever got in trouble for that. She was afraid of the water, but they said that she jumped in the water and.
Well, she got into. She had her night things on. She apparently jumped into the dinghy, and I don't know if it was Robert Wood or Christopher Walken. Should I do that joke? Hey, Natalie, you don't have to take a shower on the beach. You can wash up on shore. Hey, yeah, thank you. Tough crowd. I'll tell you,
Yeah, boy, she was a licker.
But
yeah,
there is. We talked about your quote unquote type being Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
And that's not really
nuts.
The dark hair and dark eyes is not really my type, but crossing over that border would be Natalie Wood.
No.
Just one of the most stunning beauties of the 20th century.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's one of the most beautiful women ever to be in Hollywood.
Yeah. Absolutely.
To be on the big screen, she's something else. November 29th. It was today in 2001.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
A very sad event.
Yeah, we lost George Harrison. So how about that? Natalie Wood and George Harrison from the Beatles died on the same day, although separated by a bunch of years. George Harrison died of cancer today at the young age, much too young age, of 58 years old.
You know, you think about that when you were a kid, 58. when you were, say, 8, 9, or 10. 58 was like 100. And this is not an original thought, but it just, it really punches you in the gut that as you get older, these ages that you thought were antiques when you were a kid are just 58.
Yeah.
He died at 58. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Brewster and I were listening to Roy Orbison's song came on. Did you know Roy Orbison, you think of him as being around in the late 50s, early 60s, then a recurrence in the late 80s, joining the Traveling Wilburys with George Harrison. Roy Orbison was only 51 when he died of a heart attack.
Isn't that
51?
Something? And the other day we talked about it. Steve McQueen was the great actor.
50.
He was only 50.
Yep.
I mean, you start thinking about it, and then we're starting to get up there, and it's like, wow, we're those people now. It's amazing we're still alive. And one other thing about George Harrison, a very talented guy, although there are some Beatles fans, hardcore Lennon-McCartney fans, that think George Harrison just was very lucky he was just lucky to be in the Beatles.
I would say that about Ringo.
Well, yeah, but Paul McCartney has said, yeah, when the Beatles first started, you know, it was all Lennon and McCartney writing the songs. But as time went on, George Harrison became a very prolific songwriter.
Right.
And he was a very talented guitarist as well.
Absolutely.
I'm towards the end of my my stuff over here.
Let's hear from Ringo again.
Peace and love.
You never hear enough from Ringo.
I'm warning you with peace and love, but I have too much to do.
Now that's enough. It was on this date, November 29th in 1975.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Well, a song you may have heard of. It's called Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. It began a 9-week run at number one on the UK singles chart. At the time of its release, it was like, what is this? And depicted in the movie.
Yeah.
It received really kind of lukewarm, mixed reviews, but of course going on to be one of the most revered singles in popular rock and roll music history, and spawned a film with its title as its title.
Yeah, I love the movie, so did you. And
well, slow down there just a little bit. I gave it like a 7.5 out of 10. That's not quite love.
No.
I've said it before. I thought it was a little long. I thought the Live Aid sequence, which if you go back and watch on YouTube, the actual Live Aid sequence of their 20 or so minute performance in 1985 at Live Aid, they nailed it. I mean, they, as far as visual history and making it look authentic, I just thought it was a little long. That's all.
I thought about this again. I think I've mentioned this on the show. When I hear the song Bohemian Rhapsody or somebody brings it up, just remember one thing. That was all in Freddie Mercury's head.
Right.
And he had to take that. All of that stuff was in his head, and he had to get it onto tape. And some have called that one of the greatest pieces of music ever recorded.
Yes. It was on this date, November 29th, 1969.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Well, let's make it quiz time. The Beatles reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart. Dear Casey. Well, that's not why we're bringing this up. The song spent 1 week on top. It would later be covered by the likes of Aerosmith, Elton John, Michael Jackson, and Soundgarden. I'm only familiar with the Aerosmith version, their take on this song, which is
Come Together.
Come Together. Very good. Have you ever heard Soundgarden's version of
Yes.
Come Together?
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up.
That's good.
I have not heard that.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And finally, on this day, November 29th, 1986.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
I don't want to do that one. 1982.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Metallica performed their first headlining concert in San Francisco, where they would relocate to the following February. Again, this is all the way back to 82.
Yep.
The opening act was a band called Exodus, which featured guitarist Kirk Hammett, who would later join Metallica, of course, the following April, after the booting of Dave Mustaine, who went on to form Megadeth.
Yeah, Metallica got together.
You take a mortal man.
Nah. They got together in Los Angeles. They didn't like the scene in Los Angeles in the early 80s, so they
Yes.
moved up north to San Francisco, and that was that. Oh, and Tiny Tim died today in 1996. The Tiptoe Through the Tulips, Tiny
Yes.
Tim, name from our past.
Yes, and that's the segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Hey, coming up on our show, you know, I used to play a game on the radio show called Name Tag, because parents are naming their kids just crazy names.
And we used to play a game where if you went to a restaurant or your server came over to you and they had just a ridiculous, crazy name on their name tab, take a picture of it, send it to us. Well, something similar just happened to a young girl and an airline, and the mother is not happy with the airline. And we're going to tell you about it coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, I used to play a game on the radio show called Name Tag. And the whole point of Name Tag was if you were out and you were in a restaurant or you were at a store and you saw an employee there who worked there who had just a very unique or crazy name on their name tag, just to take a picture of it. Now, don't get caught. You gotta do it. Be low profile because you don't want I was at Walmart once, and one of the checkout ladies, she had a name I couldn't even come close to pronouncing.
Right.
So, I had to take a picture of her name tag while I was standing in line, and you don't want them to see
taking
you.
Your life into your own hands.
Yeah. You don't want them to see you taking a picture of them, their ridiculous name that's on their name tag.
Right.
But you gotta just do it undercover.
Right. The other way to do this, if you're very easily, if you're in a place where you receive a printed receipt and that particular cashier's name happens to be on the receipt, they're basically handing it to you. They don't know what's going on, and then you would gather those and read those on the air.
And the listeners of the show that played the game Name Tag, they would take the pictures of either the name tags or the, like you said, the receipts.
Right.
And they would send them to me on Facebook, and then we'd put them on the Facebook page. And it was a lot of fun. And the reason I did it,
until the C&D cease and desist letters came, it was great.
Well, the reason I did it, I could not believe what people are naming their kids. It's almost like a contest as we sit here in the year 2018.
Right.
I mean, look at the Kardashian kids. Their names are like Northwest and Dream and Groovy. And I mean, and these parents, they're only doing it to try to prove that they're the coolest person in the room.
Right.
And they're not. They're giving these poor children names. Gwyneth Paltrow named one of her daughters Apple.
Exactly. That's the one that I remember. And full disclosure, I was not a part of your show at that time. But I do remember that's how they put me somewhere else. But I remember that's how it started, was with Gwyneth Paltrow and Apple.
Apple Paltrow.
Her daughter, Apple.
Well, I think it's Apple Martin because she's Chris, married to Chris Martin, the lead singer of Coldplay. Was married.
I think they're divorced now. Yeah.
So, anyways, I saw this story, and it got me thinking of the old game Name Tag.
Yes. Was there theme music for Name Tag? I don't know.
Not off the top of my head.
Okay.
This mother is very upset at Southwest Airlines because she was getting on a plane in Orange County at John Wayne Airport.
Orange County, California.
Yes.
Yes.
And the woman was getting on the plane with her 5-year-old daughter. Her daughter's name, this is how it's spelled, her first name, ABCDE.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're not making this up.
I'm not making it up. And the Southwest Airlines employee saw that name and started laughing, of course, and then put it on their social media, and it went viral.
Right.
And the mother said, how dare you? This is my 5-year-old daughter. She has epilepsy, and you're making fun of her. Now, obviously, the Southwest airline employee didn't know the 5-year-old had epilepsy.
Of course not.
The only thing the Southwest airline employee knew, that the 5-year-old daughter had a lunatic for a mother. Because if you name your child ABCDE, and by the way, the mother, whose name is Tracy...
Well, that's bad enough.
The mother said that you pronounce her daughter's name Ab-city.
A-B-C-D-E. Ab-city.
Ab-city. She's 5-year-old. Their last name is Redford. And so here's A-B-C.
Oh, no, oh, my God.
Here's ABCDE Redford, who's a five-year-old child who is getting on an airplane at John Wayne Airport in Orange County, California, and the and Southwest looks at this, and you know, obviously the five-year-old's with her mother, and the Southwest Airlines said, I have to share this. This is the dumbest name I've ever seen in my life. Now the woman is thinking, out, you watch to sue Southwest Airlines. How dare this employee make this go viral? How dare this employee put my daughter's name, who has epilepsy, which has nothing to do with the story, by the way.
Right.
The mother is just playing the victim, is just going, get the violin out. Oh, it's the mother who named her daughter an absolutely ridiculous, stupid name. And now because her dumb name that she named her daughter has gone viral and people are laughing at her, now she wants to sue. I think the mother got exactly what she deserved for naming her daughter, well, at least how you spell it, A-B-C-D-E, Redford.
How do you say that again?
Ab-City.
Ab-City.
And there's a dash in between ab and city. This is how crazy this mother is.
Well, call me cynical, but is there any possibility that the mother could be, I hate to even say it, I hate to even insinuate it, using the daughter's affliction for trying to get some sort of a payday out of this?
She could be. This name is as dumb, A-B-C-D-E for a first name. That name is as dumb as the name we saw here in Louisiana a few years ago when we played the name tag game. The name was called LaDasha, and it was spelled L, and it just had a dash. It didn't say D-A-S-H. It was L-A. So it looked like it was two letters with a dash in between.
So what happens if I refer to this person as L-hyphena?
You would be saying her name wrong, and her mother would probably get upset with you.
And probably try to sue me.
Well, what do you think? I'm all for the Southwest airline employee who made this woman's daughter's ridiculous first name go viral. I feel sorry for the daughter that's her name. And I feel sorry for every child who gets named a stupid, ridiculous name because their parents think they're too cool for school.
I know that there's another piece that went along with this game, even though I was not a part of the show. I know it's rather long, so maybe we'll do this speeded up version of this. It's top 60 something.
Latifah, Shaniqua, Latoya, Laquisha, Lakeisha, Latanya, Rohandra, Bonquisha, Chitanya, Depromination, Laquishria, Bonifa, Chitaniana, Lavandia, Bufanaquishria, Laquishaniqua, Babisha, Monique, Abuiniana, Balandra, Keisha, Bonquiqui, Balantilamana Manisha, Shanane, Tay Tay, Daquande, Latrice, Deidre, Tramicia, Delanice, Kalikatifria Niqua, Shalandra, Shaquanda, Ella Patricia, Laquisha, Burr, Qualifria Quisha Niquia, Combrisha, Congratulations, Shayla, Barakisha, Obama Niqua, Kuladria, SpongeBob Bishia, Clitoris Andrea, Banana, Tatania, Halamisha, Beethovenese, Watermelondrea, Celia Phoniqua, United States of America Liqua, Alejandricia, King Kong Quisha, Fried Chicken Nisha, Caligrinequa, Greg Drankisha, African Nisha Niqua, Kashida, Tatiana Bovanatria Niqua Nicolis, Courtney.
I'm sorry, that was the short version.
Coming up next. The former sheriff of St. Tammany Parish. Everybody knows who he is. Looks like he's going to jail for a while. We'll give you the details coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Boy, I saw this yesterday on the news, and I was like, wow. It looks like former St. Tammany Parish Sheriff Jack Strain. I always thought he had one of the coolest names ever for a sheriff. I always liked him, but it looks like he's about to be indicted, and it looks like he's going to be going to jail. He's going to be going to prison. If you caught any of it on the news yesterday, he hasn't been officially named in what has been released to the public. The only thing we know is he is public official number one. And we do know that two of his former deputies are cooperating with authorities, and that's why all of this has been released. The story goes that Sheriff Jack Strain cool name. That they had a
work... I'm afraid we're going to run out of time for the story, though.
They had a work release program. Meaning when some prisoners were at the end of their prison sentence, they would get to leave prison and they would go work someplace.
Right.
Well, that place where they went and worked was a place that was owned by the sons of two of Sheriff Jack Strange's deputies. And they would then kick back money to the sheriff.
Yes.
And this was going on from the years 2013 through 2016.
Was that wrong?
Yeah, these guys made over $1 million. Again, the sons of two deputies of the St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office. And then they would pay in cash. The sheriff, they would give him $1,000 at a time.
Wow.
And they did this over and over and over again.
Allegedly.
Well, according to this, and now these guys are cooperating. That's why all of this information has become public. The two deputies, the two people that worked with the sheriff, who were named in this, Captains Clifford Skip Keene of Covington, and former Captain David Hansen Sr. Those two guys, their sons' names were on the ownership of this facility that got the prisoners from the prison, put them in the work release program, and that's where they could live.
So you boys just stay here and keep your hands on a car until one of my associates arrive. And don't go home, don't go to eat, and don't play with yourself. It wouldn't look nice on my highway.
Sheriff Jack Strain. And so now, he's going to be named in this. It could be even today, but it just looked really shady, you know, that the sons of these two deputies at the St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office, they get the $1.2 million contract for the work release program. And again, these prisoners would go from the St. Tammany Parish jail facilities, and they would go to this work release program owned by the sons of the two St. Tammany Parish sheriffs, captains, actually, and then they would give the kickbacks
right
to former sheriff Jack Strain.
Desperately running out of time here.
You can think about it, but don't do it.
I never thought that guy would break the law. I never thought that guy would get in trouble. I mean, living in New Orleans, we're surrounded by corruption when it comes to elected officials,
right,
when it comes to, you know, looking at in different areas. I never thought that guy would be one to go down for taking kickbacks and things like that.
Well, first of all, you maintain the opinion that North Shore police officers don't do anything but sleep in their patrol cars anyway.
Well, and some.
Yeah. You have made that statement before.
Well, I've always said if I was going to be a cop, would I rather be a cop somewhere on the North Shore or would I rather be a New Orleans cop? You know, the guys on the North Shore...
They sleep. They go to eat, and then they wake up, and then they eat, and they go back to their patrol cars and sleep. Actually said that.
They're not entering crack houses at 3 in the morning like New Orleans cops. They're not getting shot at like New Orleans cops. And I always said if I was going to be a cop, I'd rather be a small-town cop
because
then I could pull my cop car over into the woods, and I could go to sleep for 4 to 6 hours.
I'm just trying to envision you as a police officer. It's not working.
Do you watch much of that?
I keep trying to think and nothing happens.
Do you watch much of that show live, PD?
I have never seen that show. We actually saw a little bit of it on the road in a hotel once.
Because we had the host on this radio show when it was debuting, Dan Abrams.
Yes, friend of the show.
Yeah, and you know, what that showed me watching that show, when I've seen a little bit of live PD.
Yes.
Most police officers work, most uniformed police officers work in America, around the country, revolves around one thing: pulling cars over and then searching the cars, looking for drugs. That's what most American cops are doing, as far as I can tell.
You could do that.
But why would I want to bother people like that?
I'm just thinking maybe a little extra money on the side, part-time.
But if you ever watch that show, Live PD, it's on the A&E Network on Saturday and Sunday nights. As far as I could tell, the majority of police work by the majority of police officers in the United States of America is pulling cars over and then searching those cars,
right,
looking for drugs and other contraband.
See, while you're watching that, I'm watching this. Now that's real police work.
Well, I never thought I'd say this because, like I said, I always liked this guy.
Yeah, we're running late here, Sheriff. Well, Sheriff Jack Strain.
So he's gonna be going to prison. More details on that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Billy Idol there, and we told you last week on the show how he became an American citizen. Even though he's lived here for over 30 years, he just decided to go and become an American citizen. And when I saw that story, it got me thinking about the migrants who are making their way, marching from their Central American countries to the United States-Mexican border. And now, you know, they should do what Billy Idol did. I mean, well, Billy did it legally, but I just wonder, how do you live here for 35 years and then say, I'm going to become an American citizen? Ask Billy Idol. Maybe you have to have a few top 40 radio hits. But one-third of those migrants in that caravan, about 6,000 of them have made it to Tijuana. They've made it to Tijuana, which borders San Diego. And you might have saw a couple of days ago, if you pay attention to the news, you might have seen the people throwing rocks and tear gas and things like that. Well, listen to this. Out of the approximately 6,000 migrants that are currently resting or residing in Tijuana, Mexico, because we're trying to figure out what's going to happen with them. Many of them want to come into America. Donald Trump says no. And the Mexican government now, they're keeping them in Tijuana. But there's about 6,000 of them. Over one-third of them are being treated for health-related issues, including tuberculosis, AIDS, HIV/AIDS, chicken pox. And this is why I said to you on this radio show recently that the United States is biggest import to Central America is oil. Central America's biggest import to the United States are diseased migrants. And that's what we're seeing right now in Tijuana, Mexico, as, again, there's many that have lice, skin infections, and get set.
It's like a party at your house.
It'll be interesting to see what happens to these people finally in the end. Coming up next, life expectancy in the United States is declining. It should be going the other way. We'll tell you why coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, Ann Lamarck Ford. I'm sure you're excited to watch the Saints tonight. As the Saints, the hottest team in football, number one right now on most, including ESPN, when it comes to the best football teams in the NFL. And tonight they're in Dallas to take on the Dallas Cowboys. The Saints are a 7.5-point favorite, meaning if you wanted to bet on the game tonight, legally, of course, The Saints would have to win by at least 8 points or more because they're a 7.5-point favorite on the road in Dallas tonight.
Well, now, wait a minute. That's the old Thursday night football theme. Now that it's moved to Fox, then it would be the much more familiar. There we go.
Please continue. I think every one of those networks, they have great football theme songs.
Yeah. I mean, they get you... they get you, well, I'll put it in first person. They get me fired up to either go to the bathroom or go back to the refrigerator to get more snacks or a beverage or whatever.
I expect, just like the bettors and just like Las Vegas, we all expect the Saints to win tonight. The only question is, will they destroy the Cowboys like they've been destroying pretty much everybody? Although last week, the Saints at home on Thanksgiving night, they beat the Atlanta Falcons, and they beat them by two touchdowns. They were 13.5-point favorites, so they covered that point spread by a half a point last week against Atlanta, even though they didn't look that great. Now, the few weeks before that game, all of those Saints games, they were destroying the teams that they were playing so much that they were those games were over at halftime. I don't know if it's going to be that much of a rout tonight, but everybody expects the Saints to handle business tonight, and you just got to keep winning because we want those playoff games to be here in the Superdome. Where the Saints play much better, and it'd be better for the NFC Championship game to be played here in New Orleans than, let's say, Los Angeles against the Rams or some other place.
And much more importantly, you and I both have Drew Brees in our respective fantasy leagues.
Yes, and that should be big tonight.
That's the important thing.
Just very excited to watch that game. I wanted to bring this up. Because,
well, then go right ahead.
Because I saw this, and this doesn't make any sense. Because as time has gone on here in the United States, human beings, Americans' life expectancy keeps getting higher. You know, back in the day, back in the 40s and the 50s, you know, if you lived to be 70 years old, that was a pretty 75 years old. It's a pretty big deal. Now,
you mean the 1840s or 50s?
Well, no, I'm talking even the 1940s or 50s. I mean, most people in the 1940s or 50s, most Americans aren't living to be 85, 90, 95. Some did. But the majority I'm talking about.
So you're saying that the life expectancy has jumped how much in the last 50 years? I think you'd have to go back to see like a real measurable change of the needle.
Oh, I think in the last 50 years, a minimum of 10 or 15 years, life expectancy has gone up.
Mm. Anyway, go ahead.
But the reason I'm bringing this up.
Scrabble challenge.
Well, yeah. Well, the reason I'm bringing this up is because for the first time in a while, it was just announced United States life expectancy has dropped. You know how they always say, well, hey, this is the first generation where, you know, the kids aren't going to be doing better than their parents. They're not financially, you know, this is the first generation where, you know, kids aren't outperforming their parents. Well, this is the first generation in a while where United States life expectancy is dropping. Take a guess why it's dropping.
Well, I can't guess because I'm reading it, but it's too late now.
It's because drug overdoses are climbing. And a lot of that has to do with the pills, with many people who first got into it, who first got addicted. It's because they're doctors. We're prescribing OxyContin and oxycodone and oxy whatever, and people were getting addicted to those oxys as soon as they started taking them.
But that isn't. But that's not life expectancy. That's death rate.
But you put all I'm of no those more people who are dying young because they're overdosing on drugs.
That doesn't affect me. That doesn't make my life expectancy shorter.
But that brings down the entire country's life.
No, it doesn't.
Well,
no,
yes,
it doesn't.
Does.
No, it doesn't. That is.
It's like the kids in school who ruined it because they were so smart taking the test, and it ruined the curve for everybody else in the class.
Life expectancy is not graded on the curve. That's my point.
Well,
if there are people in Dayton, Ohio, who are, because they can't get their doctors to prescribe psychotropic drugs or oxys or whatever it might be, Percocet, for their little aches and pains, and I understand that greatly because I deal with those every day, and they're switching to heroin, some of the purest heroin that's ever been seen. How does that affect me? How does that make my life expectancy shorter? That's nonsense.
Because life expectancy, Bruce.
That is death rate. That is not life expectancy.
Life expectancy gives us a snapshot of the whole nation's overall health. And so when you've got more people every year over the last few years dying of drug overdoses, they die much younger. Like,
That does not affect my life expectancy.
Well, they make an average of it. If some 30-year-old dies because he's addicted to oxys, that 30-year-old dying then crosses out the 80-year-old who lived to be 80, and then.
But what what you're saying is, like, if you're on Google Earth, and I'm zoomed to like 600 feet to like bird's eye view. You're pulling back and looking at the entirety of the United States of America.
Yes.
Okay, that I can give you that, but that's not the way you present this is that there's some cause for concern that I need to have.
Don't do oxys.
Well, I don't do heroin either.
Life expectancy.
I'm much more likely to do oxys if I can get them from my doctor.
Life expectancy in the United States dropped yet again as drug overdose deaths continued to climb. They're saying that they know about drug overdose deaths were over a little over 70,000 people in 2017. Suicides have also gone up a bit, and when you put those into the equation, that's why the life expectancy of our nation as a whole is down.
Well, but it's.
Drug overdose rate rose almost 10% from 2017 to 2016.
I'll give you that.
Suicides climbed to 4% from the year 2016 to 2017. This is according to the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, their National Center for Health Statistics. So as a result of all of that, the average lifespan in America dropped to 78.6 years, and that went down 0.1 from the year before that in 2016. And it's because of the opioid epidemic that the United States is grappling with. That's why this data is what it is.
See, now I understand why all the libraries are empty. No, that's a different. We're gonna talk about that another day.
Well, yeah,
What changes, and I'm not a big fan of, I've never been a big fan of grading by the curve, but let's go back 200 years ago. Let's go to, that would be 200, that'd be 18, eight, let's go back to 1818. You know, your life expectancy was probably, well, much less.
If you hit 50, you were lucky.
Yeah, probably 50 or 60, you'd be really lucky, but you talk about, throughout history, the advances of medicine, penicillin, cleanliness, soap and water. So you have to, I guess the mistake that I made was not, you have to change the color of the phrase life expectancy rate in your mind based on the conditions that you're in. Or whatever segment you're looking at. I mean, it wouldn't apply to 200 years ago. I just think that you started out saying 50 years ago. It's just, I would think that you would look at a larger section than that.
People are living longer now than they were 50 years ago. The people that aren't getting hooked on opioids.
Well, there's always got to be one damn bad apple that ruins it for the entire class.
I just thought that was interesting.
Tweakers.
Coming up next. You're not going to believe what mailmen got in trouble for in the city of Atlanta. And this is major.
Delivering the mail?
As if things weren't bad enough in Atlanta with their traffic and their football team. Wait till you hear what a bunch of their mailmen just went down for.
Delivering the mail?
That's not on the list.
Oh.
Well, delivering something in the mail. Okay. We'll explain coming up.
All right.
On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, I know a bunch of people that say professional athletes, you know, guys in the NFL, guys in the NBA, guys in Major League Baseball, they get paid ridiculous amounts of money. You know, when guys like Drew Brees is making $20 million a year, You know, and I've heard people say, no human being deserves that. That is not right. That is not right. It is right. And I'm going to tell you why. A, we're a capitalistic country. If someone is willing to pay someone $20 million a year to play a sport, they are obviously not going to pay them that money if they're going to lose that money. They're paying someone $20 million a year to play football or baseball or basketball because they know that they're going to get that money back because that person, that player, is so good. We all remember when the Saints weren't good. We all remember when the Saints never had a quarterback. Drew Brees is worth every penny that the New Orleans Saints pay him. I mean, not only has he won led the team to the Super Bowl and a Super Bowl championship, I mean, he should have more, to be honest with you. He's that great of a player. But the seats are always filled in the Superdome. How many number nine Brees jerseys do you see? I bring up the Indianapolis Colts the year after New Orleans native Peyton Manning left them. They were up. They were in the playoffs every year when Peyton Manning was their quarterback. They won a Super Bowl when Peyton Manning was their quarterback. The year Peyton Manning was gone, first he got hurt and then he couldn't play and then he left. The year he was gone, I don't know if they won a game or they might have won one game. They had a guy named Painter who was their quarterback. Peyton Manning, $25 million a year. He deserves that money because he won games. He got that team to the Super Bowl. He got that team to win the Super Bowl. That Painter guy wasn't worth, even if they were only paying him $500,000 a year, he wasn't worth that because he stunk and he couldn't win any games. Drew Brees is worth every one of those $20 million, $25 million, whatever they're paying him. And like, I have family members and I have some friends. I stopped watching sports because when these guys are making $20 or $25 million a year, you know, I'm barely able to pay the rent. Well, that's your problem in a capitalistic country. That's not Drew Brees' problem. That's not the baseball player or the basketball player who's making $25 million a year. It's not their problem. They're playing the capitalistic game. And sure, do I think teachers should make more money? Do I think first responders should make more money? Absolutely. But don't go telling me that some of these athletes aren't worth what they're paying them. Just ask any Colt fan if Peyton Manning was worth that. They couldn't win. They were perennial Super Bowl contenders when he was their quarterback. The second he leaves, they can't win a game.
They lost four. They lost, let's see, by week. They lost 13 in a row. They finally, in week 15, beat Tennessee. In week 16, beat Houston, who probably didn't have all their starters. And I'm not sure what their status was. That's going too far back. I mean, I was at the game where the Colts came here and lost 62-7.
I remember that game.
Without Peyton Manning. I was here. I was at the game.
The reason I brought all of this up, it's gotten so bad in Tampa Bay. The Saints division rival, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Last week, there was barely 40,000 people at their game. So now what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are doing, they're giving all of their season ticket holders two extra tickets for the rest of the home, for, at least for the next home game against Carolina, because they're playing in half-empty stadiums. And they're not the only team. But Tampa Bay, that's what they're doing as an organization. So don't ever tell me that an athlete is making too much money in a capitalistic society when the stadium's filled every game, when they're winning most of their games, when they're perennial Super Bowl contenders like the Saints are now with Drew Brees.
We can't do it now, but I want to ask you what your thoughts are about minimum salaries, though, in Major League Sports. We'll do that another time.
We'll talk about that. Coming up next, we're going to tell you how bad it's gotten in Atlanta. Again, not just because their football team stinks and all the other reasons why Atlanta's got problems. They're mailmen. A bunch of mailmen in Atlanta are going down. We're going to tell you why coming up. That's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. The Rolling Stones there. And I know if you go to our website, bayou957.com, you could register to win a trip to go see them up in Boston.
It's a VIP package. It is in Santa's overflowing sack. It is kind of filtered up to the top with all the other goodies in there. You and a guest have a chance to get airfare to Boston. You get ground transportation in Boston. You get accommodations in Boston. You get two VIP tickets to see the Stones at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. On June 8th of next year. Meet and greet with the band, backstage VIP tour, all kinds of tour swag, man. It's a scene, and you can be part of it. Good luck. Go to Santa's Sack at Bayou957.com.
Yeah, go register. It didn't cost nothing. And Brewster, I mentioned this yesterday on the show. Have we talked to anyone around here? I thought it would be pretty cool. Maybe since I lived and worked up there for 17 years, maybe we could say, well, you know, I'll go too, and I can. And if you win, I'll show you great places to eat, cool places to hang out, fun things to do on our 2 days in Boston. But nobody from upper management has gotten back to us on that yet.
Uber from your apartment to Foxborough, Mass. It's going to be about $6,000.
Yeah, it'd be an expensive ride.
I'm going to look and see how much that would be. You can't do that, you know.
So
you go ahead with your little show here.
Well, on this radio show, we have talked about what a major problem the United States Postal Service is. How it loses billions of dollars. These are taxpayer dollars, by the way. This is you and I go to work every morning, and some of our taxpayer dollars go to pay for the United States Postal Service. Problem is, it loses about $3 or $4 billion each and every year for the last several years. And we don't need mail the way we used to need mail. You know, it'll never be as cool or fast as email. I mean, just the thought of having to go get an envelope and then get a writing implement and then write an address on it and then go get stamps, and you got to put the stamps on the envelope and you gotta go mail something. I mean, it seems it's such an outdated way of life.
For things like that, for light correspondence, but for in terms of legalities, in terms of having things signed, documents. My dad died in August, and you wouldn't believe the things that are being generated back and forth that I've got to mail to an attorney because the estate and this, that, and the other. There are things that just aren't. We're not up to electronic transfer of everything yet.
Well, I think
Is taken. I mean, yeah, Grandma can send you a nice email. It's not as nice as a card where she signs SWAC on the back like my grandmother did, sealed with a kiss and put like $2 in there, which is about all she thought I was worth. The old bat. Well, now she died, but I understand your point, but.
My question is always, how can we keep losing all of this money every year?
Well, but you say,
without changing anything.
But you say that like the Postal Service is about to tip over into collapse because of the money that it loses. But it is it's certainly not a great business model, but it is certainly not going away tomorrow.
If the United States Postal Service, the USPS, was like any business in a not run by the government, like any capitalistic business in a free market capitalistic society, it would have been out of business years ago. And the only reason it's still in business is because the federal taxpayers, we all pay for it to lose those billions of dollars every year. Anyways, I brought that up because just when you thought things couldn't get worse for the USPS, the United States Postal Service, did you hear what happened to a bunch of mailmen in Atlanta, Georgia? Drug traffickers bribed them to deliver cocaine during their mail run. 16 United States Postal Service workers got sentences of between 3 to 9 years in federal prison for accepting bribes to deliver cocaine on their mail routes in Atlanta.
Well, but they were going to be out anyway.
As if the United States Postal Service didn't blow enough. This totally blows. Drug traffickers bribed 16 mailmen in Atlanta, sometimes with amounts of money as low as just $250, to deliver cocaine to designated addresses.
Can you send me that link?
And this is according to the United States Attorney's Office over there in Atlanta. Quote, U.S. Postal Service workers are typically valuable members of the community entrusted to deliver the mail every day to our homes. This important operation identified and prosecuted 16 corrupt mailmen who chose to abuse that trust and instead use their positions to bring what they thought were large amounts of dangerous drugs into the same communities for some money. Brewster, would you ever look at your mailman and say that he's a valuable community service member?
Well, we recently moved. We moved back in July, August, and I have not yet got to know my my new mailman. But I used to, my old mailman, Kerry, who I would stop and have conversations with, he's a cool guy. What was the question? Do I trust him?
Is he a trusted member of your community? Your mailman.
I don't know where he lives, but I mean, he certainly was. Here's how I judge a mailman or mail woman person. If the mail comes at a generally accepted time, if it doesn't vary, if it doesn't vary too much, like sometimes when Kerry would be on vacation, he would bring the mail like right around 11:30, almost like clockwork. When he was off, it would come anywhere between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. That's a problem for me. Doesn't work in my business.
That wouldn't be a trusted member of your community.
It wouldn't. But people go on vacation and whatnot. So to answer your question, what was the question?
Well, 16 United States mailmen, United States Postal Service workers, they're going to jail because they were delivering more than mail. They were delivering drugs. They were delivering coke and weed. On their mail routes.
I say let the marketplace decide.
Well, in a free capitalistic society, Brewster, if that stuff was legal, and that's the political libertarian in me, I'm for personal freedom and personal responsibility.
Right.
You know, if things like prostitution and dope like this, if this was legal, it would clean up the streets. It would clean up our postal service. It would take the middlemen out of the operation. But this started in 2015 in Atlanta. This is when it was discovered, and it took a few years to set these mailmen up and bust them, but they did, and now 16 mailmen from Atlanta are now trading their blue mailmen outfits,
blue and gray, I think, probably.
for orange jumpsuits because they were dealing more than mail on their mail routes. A bunch of dope dealers. It's incredible. Coming up on the show, this may be New Orleans' youngest felon, and we will tell you what they did. You're not going to believe this. Coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. We talked about this on the show yesterday. We're following a court case in St. Tammany Parish where panhandlers, beggars, people that walk up to strangers and ask them for money, they are challenging the panhandling laws. They're saying that they're unconstitutional because we have the freedom of speech, the First Amendment, where we can walk up to anybody and say whatever we want. And so it's a very interesting court case in St. Tammany Parish. And yesterday I told you how one of the panhandlers stood up before the judge and said, give me liberty or give me a dollar. Well, another one of the beggars, another one of the panhandlers, they're complaining because as plaintiffs, they're not happy with their lawyer. They're saying, we don't have the best lawyer. They got to remember, beggars can't be choosers. They hope they don't forget that. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. And we are going to tell you about a dangerous public farter. That's next. Here on Bayou 95.7.
You take a mortal man, dun, 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 put him in control. Dun, dun, dun.
The story of Metallica kicking Dave Mustaine out is fairly legendary.
Okay.
They were still a new band, and they had to drive across the country in a van. They were living out in California, Metallica, mm-hmm. and the guy that was going to record them was based in New York City. So they had to drive across the country, and they said Dave Mustaine was driving them crazy. And he was driving them crazy a little bit before they left. But, and especially the more he got drunk, the more he got drunk. And we all know drunks like this. There are some people you love getting drunk with because they're happy drunks. But then we all know people that are miserable drunks. And when they get drunk, they just start spewing negative thought after negative thought. They're mean and nasty
and that's
drunks.
Dave Mustaine.
And that evidently was Dave Mustaine. And so they got to New York City. They drove across the country. It took them a few days. They didn't have much money. They were going to record their first album. And they woke him up one morning and they said, dude, you're out. And he's like, wait a minute. We just drove all the way across the country. He's like, yeah, here's your bus ticket. They handed him a bus ticket. Now you're going to go. So he literally drove across the country, slept there one night, and then woke up, got a bus ticket, got kicked out of Metallica to drive back across the country. And that's when they called in Kirk Hammett, and that's when they recorded their first album.
But there's no question.
But he went on to do good things with Megadeth. Dave Mustaine.
I love the song Symphony of Destruction. I just love that.
And put him in control. He sells, but he's fired. Watch him become a god.
Are we all in the hallway today? I could be in trouble.
Watch yeah, this is a good tune.
Roll. Roll.
It's a Megadeth star set on Bayou 95.7.
Yeah.
Just like the Piper.
And I told you, I
signaled in the hallway, knock it off.
I told you, I played golf with Dave Mustaine once when I was on the radio in Boston.
Uh-huh.
And when I play golf, I usually like to bring a few beers, a few wobbly pops. He told me
That's why no one plays golf with you because you use words like wobbly pop. How old are you?
When I played golf with Dave Mustaine, he had just told me that he was recently out of rehab from cleaning up from heroin addiction and other things. And he said, please don't bring any cans of beer onto the golf cart.
Wow.
So,
well, there went your game.
I had something else too, something that we rolled.
Right.
And I wasn't allowed to do that around Dave Mustaine because he just got out of rehab.
Mm-hmm.
So when I wanted to.
How did this force them happen anyway?
Every year we did a celebrity golf tournament when I was on the radio in Boston.
Right.
So I'm playing with Dave Mustaine, fresh out of rehab. He tells me I can't drink anything. Don't even try smoking a joint. You don't try anything. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, these 18 holes, they're not looking as fun now as they did a little while ago.
Right.
So one of my friends who was in the group ahead of us, when we wanted to slam a beer or maybe, you know,
right,
do something else,
mm-hmm,
purposely had to hit the ball in the woods off the tee.
Wow, that was going to be my next question. How did you hit him?
I hit it right into the woods. I said, Dave, you take the cart. I'll meet you in the fairway. I got to go in the woods and retrieve my ball.
Right.
And then we came out of the woods after, you know, slamming a few beers.
You shot like 160 that day.
I didn't care. I just wanted to have a good time.
Mm. You got all this paella? Mm.
See, I would have thought it would have been more fun to play 18 holes of golf with Dave Mustaine before he went into rehab, but he probably wasn't playing golf at that point.
Right.
He was spending all of his time doing drugs, and much like Alice Cooper, you know, when you stop drinking and doing drugs, mm-hmm, you need something to take up all those hours. For those guys, golf was something they didn't. Dave Mustaine was a good golfer.
I think Alice Cooper could probably hold his own on the senior tour. From what I've heard.
Yeah. He's something else.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's just about going to do it for us.
For today. We'll be back tomorrow.
Today. We appreciate you listening. And a quick reminder.
Tomorrow will be Funky Friday.
Yeah.
When we'll get some butt dancing music on up in here.
No, we won't. But a quick reminder, the podcast of this show is available by Bayou957.com. You can go check that out. Listen when you want, where you want, on whatever you want. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30. Ginty is next. Dirty! He's got your music notes at noon here on Bayou 95.7.